Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest at Surfaces 2012 is Chris Davis, who's president and CEO of the WFCA. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. Thank you.
You look good.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say the same thing to you. It's been a while since I've seen you. Last time I saw you, about a year ago, you had just undergone your surgery. You looked a little thin. You're looking still very healthy, but I think a little better now.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about this show. Most people know that the WFCA started the Surfaces show and sold it 11 years ago to Hanley Wood, but you're still an advisor to the show. You know, what's your take on this year's so far in the second day?
The way I measure this show is I go around and I talk to some of the exhibitors and ask how they view the show, because that's really what matters from the standpoint of whether or not it's perceived to be a successful show. And everyone I've talked to has said that it's been a really good show, and they feel that because the people they're talking to are actually the ones that want to do business with them and doing programs with them. So from that standpoint, there's very few tire kickers here, and the people that they're talking to, they're not wasting their time with. They're people that are actually doing business. So that's a good thing.
From my take on it, I think that there's probably still a good number of buyers here. They used to come with four and five people. It's too expensive to travel with a big entourage, so they're here by themselves. And what I hear by talking to some of these big anchor booths is they're here to write business. So many people are encouraged.
Yeah, of the four or five that used to come, two or three just sort of trolled around and checked out, you know, maybe new things in the show. These guys come with a list. They come with, you know, knowing what they want, knowing who they need to see, and they're here to work. And it's very impressive. It's much more business-like that way.
All right, so most people also know that the WFCA, which stands as the World Floor Covering Association, is really the advocate for the retailer. You're a membership organization. One of the things that I'm asked all the time, and I'd love to ask you, is that before this recession started, many people said there were about 14,000 independent flooring retailers out there, and people are curious how many there are now. What's your take on that?
Well, that's a good question. And to be honest with you, our numbers were a little higher, and we based it upon the federal numbers that were out there. We just did an exhaustive kind of approach at really sending letters out to find out who's out there and, you know, what lists we could get a hold of. We managed to mail to find out if they're still in existence and whatever. And while we find that there's still around 14,000, it's the ones that are really doing the business, it's probably more like 8,000 that are doing 80% or 85% of the business. The interesting thing that's going to happen and where you're going to see some drop-off is when the business starts to come back and they have to order new and they find out they don't have credit and they can't order. So that's where you're going to have some fall off. But you really haven't seen as much as we anticipated and you would think in this economy of people actually going out of business. But I've talked to a couple of different distributors that have been carrying some of these dealers for 180 days. So, I mean, you know, why they're doing that, I'm not sure, but you know, maybe they are interested in banking from that standpoint, but they'll say, well, you know, guys who have been with me for 30 years, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, you're just providing him cash so he can buy from somebody else, you know, I mean, but, you know, it's their business.
Some people say there probably should be a little bit more of a barrier to entry so that the pros don't have to struggle against the people who come in and out, but, you know, that's just one factor.
If nothing comes out of this recession, but perhaps that, one of the problems we've always had is, you know, if you're breathing and can fog a mirror, you can get samples. And that's really not a way to judge who should be and who shouldn't be in business. There should be some barrier of some type to allow the people that are actually doing the sales and service for you and acting as your agent, essentially, to be protected. I mean, they're the ones that are doing the job, and to have people just come into business and then quickly go out of it again is not really a fair thing to have happen. So don't get me started on that one.
Okay, Chris, that's good. One of the things I definitely wanted to check in with you on is what you're focused on in 2012. I know you're, like I say, you're the advocate for the retailer. One of the things that with the way the government is and the way that they've been deprived of some of their revenue because sales tax numbers are down, they're looking for new sources of revenue. And one of the things that some people say they've selected is this whole subcontractor retailer type relationship where, you know, they're going after people and saying that these are really your employees. And I know you guys are taking a look at that. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Some of these states are hurting for revenue, and they're instituted programs and new laws in some states that are very onerous. Maryland is probably one of the worst. Illinois has certainly got some really horrific things on the books. California is starting to enforce some. And it's basically the kind of thing that if somebody does work for you, all of a sudden they're blanket classified as being your employee. And you have to prove that they're not, as opposed to innocent until proven guilty. You're guilty until proven innocent. That's tough for us to monitor because as a national organization, you know, we prefer to focus on the big issues. But this is a big thing that's happening in a lot of different states. And generally what happens is once one or two states get it and it's working for them, then all of a sudden everybody else is, you know, jumps on the bandwagon. So I don't know that we can change the bills in some of these states that have already passed. And the likelihood is we're probably not going to be able to, but we're going to try and keep them from spreading to any great degree. And we're going to try and help people the best we can, at least to provide them information so that they can be armed with the best information they can have to protect themselves. You know, make sure that they're keeping the records and keeping the information and not doing the things that are going to raise red flags for the government to come after them. And that's about the best we can do at this point. I would like to make one little slight adjustment to your statement about us being the advocate for the retailer. We've made a slight adjustment in our approach to doing things. We're going to be an advocate for the entire floor covering industry. That doesn't mean that we're going to be the lead on everything. That's not mean that we're trying to take over anybody else's responsibility. But you'll see us partnering with a lot of different other associations on some of their goals and objectives that we believe will be good for the industry and that we can help them accomplish and perhaps they can help us accomplish. And there's going to be a real push towards that, and there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to be doing later on that you'll see during the year. One thing that we are interested in greatly, and we think the manufacturing community should also be interested in, we certainly know the states are interested when it comes to looking for new sources of revenue. Everybody wants revenue that they're not getting. One area where we think there's an unfair playing field is between the bricks and mortar stores and the internet sellers. There's already a great advantage because they don't have a bricks and mortar operation. And we're not after internet people or to try and run them out of business, but we would like to establish a level playing field because, frankly, what's happening is people are coming into bricks and mortar stores, getting the information on the products, and then going on the internet and buying them, not just because they have a little bit of a price advantage, but a great price advantage in some states as much as 10%. Because they don't have to pay the sales tax. We'd like to see that sales tax be simplified, and we're pushing for some bills that will level the playing field to a greater degree.
All right, great, Chris. So again, we've been talking to Chris Davis, who's president and CEO of the WFCA at Services 2012, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.